This is Billy Brim and the voice of Len Witness Radio Broadcast. I'm sharing with you this week some things that have just happened to me in Europe. And, you know, with the world shaking that's going on right now economically, this week and next, I have some really important things to share with you. Now, I want you to know that the story of what happened to me in Europe, I was ministering. The first place I ministered was a seminar in the Lutheran Church in Paris that was built by Napoleon for his generals from Scandinavian countries. I want to tell you how I got into this church. It was a door that God opened. Actually, I was in Israel. Well, I think I'll start like this. Years ago, and I talked to Brenda Baeza about this just this week. She remembered when it happened. Years ago, God told me, I want you to learn about Joan of Arc. And I just didn't do it and didn't do it. And I thought, well, I'll study it sometime soon. And one day I went with her to her sister's art studio where she made a colored stained glass art. And it was also an antique store in with it. And we were looking around there and a book fell off the top shelf and hit me in the head. And it was the story of Joan of Arc as done by Time Life Books. And it was a very good, well done one. And so I thought, okay, Lord, she was talking with me this week. And she said, Billy, I remember when we sat down and started reading it together. And so I read about Joan of Arc, and I found that in the medieval times in Europe, when nobody could read or write much, and no one had Bibles, if God was going to deal with you, he had to deal with you some way other than the written word, because you didn't have you couldn't get your hands on the written word. She was a simple farm girl. She lived in France, and there was a war going on between England and France called the Hundred Years' War. England had, they were winning. They had divided France. They'd gone right up the middle, divided France into two small parts. And she began to hear voices. And then she heard saints appeared to her from the other side and gave her instructions that God didn't want France defeated. They had a crown, they had a prince, a dauphin they called him, who should have been crowned to be the king. But he was a very weak person. He lived in the south. And God said he needs to be crowned king in the north in the city of Reims, I believe it is, E-I-R-E-I-M-S. And God gave her a plan to get that dauphin from the south through the English lines up to be crowned king and to give France heart that they weren't going to be just wiped off the map. Through a series of miracles, she did exactly what God told her to do. She had the victories God gave her to have, and France was saved. It eventually ended that England burned her at the stake. But someone said when they burned her that they knew they had burned a saint because she just died in such faith. But the Lord said to me, I show you this, and I wanted you to learn about Joan of Arc to show you that I deal in the affairs of nations. He said, if France had been destroyed, there would be no United States of America. Because when the colonists arose, and it was just after the First Great Awakening, when they arose and signed the Declaration of Independence, they were fighting with the superpower in the world, England. However, another superpower, France, at that time, with Lafayette, this was later, this was after, of course, long after Joan of Arc, they were saved, they were a strong nation, France was under, and they had a general named Lafayette. And he became like a son to George Washington. And France came in the war on the side of the young colonies who became the United States of America. So the Lord said to me, I wanted you to know that that's how I saved France so there could be a United States of America. Well, now, fast forward. So I studied about Joan of Arc. Never particularly came up in any of my teaching or anything. I was in Israel 4 or 5 years ago. And I saw a, like in a portrait, it was framed, and I saw a man in a green robe. He had a young face, he had white hair, and it was like a portrait with an ornate frame. And I told Lynn and Lucy, the twins, you know, Lynn Hammond and Lucy McKee, my friends, prayer partners, just as a witness. Sometimes you tell people things as a witness, so that if something comes to pass, you've got to witness that it indeed did happen. So I saw that man. Now, I'll tell you who the man was later that I saw. Now I'm going to introduce to you another man. About 5 or 6 years ago, we had an eschatology school. By the way, we have them out here, and I'm getting ready to do one on Daniel. Call the office and find out about it. But I was doing one on the European Union and Europe and its place in Bible prophecy. And I got this phone call that a man who worked for the government of France was coming to the meeting. And I said, oh, no, I don't want him to come because I'm going to be teaching things that I really don't want to have somebody there from the European Union. It's not good. But he came anyway, and we learned to love that man. His name is Jean-Luc, and Jean-Luc is with the government of France. He's a bureaucrat, however. He doesn't go out with elections. He writes the laws that others enact. And he just had such a good time. And then every time I've gone to France or gone to Europe, he'll get to the meetings where I'm teaching. So he said to me one day, I want you to teach why the church should bless Israel in my church. I said, Jean-Luc, what is your church? I expected that he went to some charismatic, full gospel type word church in Europe. And he said, I go to the Lutheran church. What? I said, Jean-Luc, your pastor is not going to want me to come to your church. He said, well, the next time you're over here with Maria Lane and you're teaching at her conference, you come by and meet my pastor. And let's see if maybe he won't have you at our church. So he arranged the meeting in Paris, middle of Paris, old building, cathedral type building. I walked inside to the main part of the church, the nave of the church. There was a big pipe organ. Somebody was practicing it. They didn't play very well. I've since heard it played very well, but that day they didn't play very well. They were just practicing. It sounded eerie. My daughter Shelley and Betty King, board member and prayer partner who travels a lot with me, she and Shelley sat out in the main part of the church, and I was escorted into a room on the side, a big room. It was old. It was musty. It had ancient art, religious art on the walls, which I was told had been captured by Napoleon from the Germans. And there was a big picture of Martin Luther on the wall facing me. And sitting down in two chairs facing me was Jean-Luc and his pastor. And then my daughter Brenda and I sat across from them in chairs, straight chairs. And the pastor, who was very nice, he said, please give me your message. Well, I opened my mouth, and out of my mouth came the story of Joan of Arc, the book and all, how it hit me in the head. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, Jean-Luc, how can you ever forgive me? Your pastor is going to think that I am some kind of a nutcase, because since the French Revolution, which shortly followed the American Revolution, the French really revolted from anything religious. And you can hardly blame them because of the dark and medieval ages in France and how cruel religion was. And so they rebelled against it. And now in France, very small number of the people are claiming to be evangelical Christians, less than like 1.5%. And I was told by a young person now that the young people in France hate the idea that there could be a God. Hate the idea that there could be a God. And Joan of Arc is not mentioned in their books at all. If at all mentioned, it's just like she was some kind of a nutcase hearing voices. Well, can you imagine? France was saved under her ministry. And so I sat there across from this pastor and told him that story, learned that he is a Joan of Arc fan. That opened the door for me. He is a history student, and now we have been for the second seminar in his church, his great church, downtown Paris, in a wonderful location. And the last night of our seminar this time, he stood and he said, I'm going to tell you a story. In the 12th century, there was a man who was on that very property. He was a Jew. His name was Jonatus. And Jonatus did the only thing that the medieval church would allow Jews to do, loan money. They considered money lending as a dirty profession. But the kings and the people would borrow the money. You know, the Jews have an anointing on them to be prosperous, and they believe it, and they are. And so even the kings would of Europe would borrow money from them, and then if they didn't want to pay it back, they just kicked all the Jews out of their land. This happened in many places. But an individual, if they borrowed money from a Jew, they had to prove that that Jew was blasphemous, because it was the position of the church that the Jews could live, but they had to live miserable lives. And so if you couldn't pay the money back, or you didn't want to pay the money back, then you could tell a tale on the Jews. And they had very common tales. They told at Easter time that sometimes the Jews would kill little Christians and little Christian babies and take their blood and make matzah from it. And many, many Jews have been burned up and killed because of that. But there's another story called The Host. And this is what happened on the ground of that church where I spoke. They came to Jonatus, a family, and they couldn't pay, or they said they couldn't pay their bill that they owed him. He demanded that they go get a host. Now, the host is the wafer from the communion. And they believed at that time in this medieval church that that was the body of Christ. Supposedly, and it's a lie. When they brought the host to Jonatus, he stabbed it. Blood came out of it. He put that in a container of water, and out from that container, he wasn't wanting to stop the blood, and out from that container of water came Jesus on the crucifix. Well, you know that didn't happen, but they said it did. They said Jonatus' wife and family accepted Jesus, but Jonatus would not, so they burned him at the stake. Now, this pastor of this church today, the one I saw in the picture, in the photograph, not photograph, but, you know, vision, he lives in an apartment in that church. He said there's like a battle goes on over this church all the time in the heavenlies, like there's demon princes there, and like they're, but we're rescued, you know, by angel forces. And he feels so guilty about the crime because they burned Jonatus at the stake. They tore down his house, and they built a church there to put they put in the little box this crucifix as a relic. There was a big business in relics in those days. And he felt the horror of the crime. And later on, the Lutheran church happened to be built there 200 years or so ago. And but his heart was heavy for that crime. I really feel that it's heavy, and that they could ask forgiveness and have it to be wiped away. But things happened in Europe. A book called, I wish you would go online and get it, called The Foot of Pride. It's out of print. The Foot of Pride by Malcolm Hay, which records the pressure of Christendom on the people of Israel for 1900 years. We don't have this to offer to you. You'll just have to find it. The Pressure of Christendom. The book is The Foot of Pride by Malcolm Hay. You can call us at 1-800-972-3447 or write us at Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. And close an offering for the radio if you can. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, shalom, until we meet again.